Okay, so what kind of bird gets out of breath easily? Answer, a puffin. Very poor joke. Just thought we'd get the joke out of the way first. Welcome to Bird Pod. This is actually coming live from South Stack. It's the 1st of July. It's quite a warm day. A little bit of a breeze, as you would expect near the sea. So, not a bad day at all. Numerous gulls can be heard by me. I don't know how good it'll come out on this recording. Also, there's the sound of guillemots here. I've just been in the information bit, the RSPB little tower over there, and had a chat with the bloke in there, who tells me that there are 4,000 guillemot approximately here. There's also razorbill. What else is there? 12 pairs of breeding chough. That's breeding, not bleeding. Which I haven't seen as yet. Apparently it's just, even though they are here, it's just the off chance of actually seeing them. They will go by. Just opportunity, I think. Puffins. Well, what can I say? Yep, this was the reason I came here earlier in the year and just saw two of them. First time I'd ever seen a puffin. So what I'm actually doing now is there's a little lighthouse and I'm walking over towards it. Because in the RSPB centre, I've just been watching puffins on a live camera that the chap's operating, the chap called Mark. Very kindly showed me, and other visitors, loads of birds there, including guillemot and the young. And puffins, up to four at once, there were there, as I said, 12 breeding pairs of puffin here. And as he's told me, the best place to see him is nearer to the lighthouse, which is where I'm off to now. Okay, let's just pause it for a second and stick the theme tune in. Hello, and you're listening to Bird Pod, the weekly bird watching podcast, written and presented by me, Neil Baxter. If you want more information about BirdPod, check out the official BirdPod website at www.birdpod.webs.com. First official bird of the week being the Audubon musical bird toy with authentic sounds, available from the RSPB website shop. A link on how to get there from my website, www.birdpod.webs.com. I've left it in the car today, and I thought, well, we've had the puffin before, but, you know, the reason for me coming here is mainly to see puffins, so we'll use that again at the end. Oh, nice breeze there. Plenty of steps that I'm going down. I don't envy myself coming back up them, but never mind. Yep, you need all those gulls there. I've seen some lesser blackback, greater blackback and herring gull. What else have I seen while I've been here? Jackdaw. Surprising that on the way, walk up to here before you actually get to the cliffs themselves, how quiet the place is. You can hardly hear anything. But here, cacophony, I suppose, is the word for all the birds. What's this going past here? That's a lesser blackback gull. He's flying overhead. Whew, right, this is me tackling the steps on the way back. What have I just seen? The guillemot and the razorbill. Yeah, I did see some puffins, three of them, which is pretty good going, I think. That's from 12 breeding pairs. Basically just in and out with this little wee cave thing. Bobbing in and out, whether there's burrows down there or youngin, I don't know, but a pretty good view through my scope. Which, waste of time bringing the tripod because the wall was too flaming high to see over. So, I just took it off the tripod, rested it against the wall. There you are, you don't always need all the equipment. Improvise. Quite funny as well, because one lady just come past with her camera. And some family, and they've got binoculars. And I'm trying to point out where it is, and I don't know if you've ever tried this. You know where you're looking. You can point at an object. Can you see where that rock is? I mean, blimey, we're here on cliff. Nothing but rocks. That square rock narrows it down a little bit with a bit of green above it. Took a while, but eventually I got to see what I was looking at and sorted. They all saw it. Definitely not easy trying to see somebody else's perspective. Luckily, they weren't moving about too much. I usually found that raptors are not easiest to spot. Yeah, if ever you've been with anyone birding and see a bird of prey. So there it is, it's just going past that tower now. Well, you can't miss it. Love that, you can't miss it, because you generally do. Yeah, so you need a bird's eye for seeing these things. Doesn't come easy. Although I still don't think I've got it. What you need to do is be inside somebody else's head and look at where exactly where they're looking, so never going to happen. Right, onwards and upwards. I have not seen a chuff though. A few people have been asking, but none in sight as yet. Well, you see a blackbird coming over, and is it a chuff? No, it's not, it's a jackdaw. And there's a magpie sat here on the telegraph pole. I'll have a look at him instead. But nope, not a chuff in sight. Still, does it matter? It's a nice walk, nice day. I'm off back to my car now because I'm desperate for a drink near a few hours now. What I will do as well, should be up and running by the time this podcast is done, on the website, okay, of course, again, www.birdpod.webs.com, I'll try and put a link on with information about South Stack, because as the chap in the information building told me, there is, the camera he's using there is actually a webcam. Should be information as to how to access that. I'll try and sort that out. As I say, if it's up and running, check the website. By the time this podcast is done, it'll be there. It'd be great to think that somebody manning this thing and swaying the camera around are pretty good too, focusing in and out, getting the best shots, because this chap's showing visitors the you know, the chicks of various birds. Puffins, not the chicks, because you don't see them, but you get to see the puffins, you get to kill them out with the chicks, and the razorbill and chicks. So, yeah, worth looking at. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. I'm pretty chuffed, even though I haven't seen a chuff. So I've seen puffins again. Got some good views of the scopes, got to see them right close up, and even if I hadn't had them, I've got to see them on the screen as well. You know, in real detail and glorious focus. So that's great. Rightio, I'll include birding news at the end of this podcast. So now, I'll go and get myself a drink, and then back off to sunny Wigan. Okay, so here I am, back at home again. I think we'll do birding news, because I've actually found an article about puffins, so we'll keep it themed. This one is from the Telegraph's website, dated 1st of July. Puffins to be fitted with sat-nav to monitor decline. Sat-nav in inverted commas. So I take it they're not really giving them a tom-tom and all that kind of thing. Anyway, let's carry on. Puffins are to be fitted with sat-nav devices for the first time in an effort to understand a worrying decline in their numbers. In the last 5 years, the number of the seabirds has plummeted around Britain. On the Isle of May in the North Sea, the largest breeding colony in Britain, numbers fell from 70,000 in 2003 to 41,000 in 2008. On the Farne Islands, off the Northumberland coast, numbers also dropped by around a third, from 56,000 to 36,000 during the same period. However, scientists do not know why numbers are decreasing. Possible reasons include climate change, which is causing sand eels, the bird's main food source, to move north to cooler waters. Pollution can also affect numbers and competition from other species, such as gulls. In an effort to find out the reason, scientists will fit global positioning systems, GPSs, technology to puffins to work out where the birds go to feed in the winter, how they get there and how long they stay in different areas. Around 30 birds on the Farne Islands will be fitted with a tiny GPS tag, which are glued onto the bird's feathers. The scientists will then collect the tags a few days later and download the data. The information should provide clues to the kind of feeding grounds the birds have been to, and therefore the threats they are exposed to. The birds will also be ringed and fitted with small-time depth recorders to see how deeply they dive and sea temperatures. Puffins spend the winters at sea, floating, swimming and diving for food, coming to land only during the nesting season. Dr. Richard Bevan of Newcastle University, where the data will be processed, said scientists will be able to work out why puffins are dying from seeing where the birds go in the winter. Technological developments now mean that we're getting close to finding the piece of the jigsaw to help solve the puffin puzzle. The new data will help explain what the puffins are doing when they're on the Farne Islands, and hopefully then help us to understand why numbers have declined so dramatically, he said. The tags are very much like the TomTom devices you have in the car. Ooh, see, I was wrong. All it does is store the back data and then retrieve the tag and download the data. David Steele, National Trust head warden on the Farne Islands, said puffins are breeding successfully, so it was essential to find out what could be causing the death of the birds out at sea. This has become the case of the disappearing puffins, he said. Young puffins are successfully fledging each year, and it would seem that their staple food, the sand eel, is in good supply, but they're just not coming back to the islands. This research including further counts, is designed to shed some light on what is happening. Yep, interesting stuff. You know, at least find out what's going on. That'll be good. I'll keep my eyes open for that. This, from the Mail Online, which I found, this was on the 3rd of July. Bird's eye view, pigeons are trained as fussy art critics in bizarre study. It may explain why they flock to Trafalgar Square. They're there to visit the National Gallery. Pigeons, it seems, can discriminate between art techniques and can even judge their quality. According to scientists, given the incentive of food, racing pigeons can be trained to study the colour, pattern and texture of paintings and evaluate them like an art critic. Their experiment was divided into two halves. The first saw four pigeons placed in a chamber with a computer monitor displaying watercolour and pastel paintings by school children. The paintings were divided into good and bad categories by 11 adults, including an art teacher, depending on whether the images were clear and precise. The pigeons were shown some of the paintings from each category and rewarded with food when they pecked at the good pictures, but not the bad ones. They were then presented with a mixture of new and old paintings from both categories, and the researchers noted the birds consistently pecked at the good paintings more often. Their judgment was unaffected when the paintings were reduced in size or partly hidden. However, when they were presented with monochrome paintings, they were no longer able to discriminate. The second experiment looked at eight new pigeons, which were trained to recognise the painting's texture. Four were trained to peck at watercolours and four at pastels. As before, when shown a mixture of new and old paintings, pigeons used both colour and shape cues to discriminate between textures accurately. Professor Shigeru Watanabe from Keio University in Japan said of his research published in the journal Animal Cognition, "This research does not deal with advanced artistic judgments, but it shows that pigeons are able to acquire the ability to judge beauty similar to that of humans." I don't exactly know what that achieves. It's interesting stuff, though. Strange. Okay, so that's been birding news. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do now. Seeing that, as I said, I went to South Stack, as you know, often on these bird pod podcasts, I give descriptions of birds that I take from the RSPB, maybe a sound clip. Have we had it yet? The artificial bird of the week, the puffin sound. So that's one from the soft toy, with authentic bird sound, of course. So let's have a look on the description, where you also get an audio clip. Here's the one from the website. So yeah, so that's the Puffin. So some information on that. Puffin, Latin name, Fratercula arctica, and not Puffinus puffinus, which is worth looking up, find out what that is, if you don't know already. So no, the Latin name for the Puffin, Fratercula arctica, family auks. An unmistakable bird with its black back and white underparts, and distinctive black head with large pale cheeks and a tall, flattened, brightly coloured bill. Its comical appearance is heightened by its red and black eye markings and bright orange legs. Used as a symbol for boots and other items, this clown among seabirds is one of the world's favourite birds. With half of the UK population at only a few sites, it is an amberless species. You know, the red, amber and green. Well, I think you know that anyway. Where to see them? Best looked for at a breeding colony. Try the RSPB's Bempton Cliffs, North Yorkshire, and South Stack, Anglesey Reserves, the Fern Islands, Northumberland, the Isle of May, off the Fife Coast, and the Shetland and Orkney Islands. When to see them? Adults arrive back at the breeding colony in March and April, and leave again in mid-August. Some remain in the North Sea at winter, others move further south to the Bay of Biscay. What they eat? Fish, especially sand eels. Estimated numbers, UK breeding, 580,799 pairs. So when you think about it, I mean, there's a good number there, but the ones at South Stack, 12 breeding pairs. It's a very, very small number, isn't it? So I did well to see some. So let's have a quick look now at the other birds that I could see on that day. Also on the amber status is the guillemot. And what does the guillemot sound like? Sounds like this. Which I don't know from the earlier recording on Facebook, which doesn't happen to hear that, but that's what I could hear when I got near to the cliffs. Very noisy. Cacophony being the word. Okay, so the guillemot, Latin name, Uria alge. I think that's how it's pronounced. A-A-L-G-E, alge, or A-alge, I'm not sure. Family again, auks. The UK's coasts have many stretches of sheer cliffs where seabirds breed, and the guillemot is one of the most numerous birds in the great seabird cities. It comes to land only to nest, spending the rest of its life at sea, where it is vulnerable to oil spills. Dark brown and white, not as black as the similar razor bill, it has a bridled form with a white ring round the eye and stripe behind it. Where to see them? Found on small areas of cliffs on the south coast of England, very locally on the coast and islands of Wales, and in a handful of places in the north of England and Northern Ireland. More widely spread on cliffs in Scotland, RSPB nature reserves such as Bempton Cliffs in Yorkshire, Foulshoe in Grampian and Merwick Head in Orkney have large colonies. In winter, it is widespread around UK coasts, but usually well offshore. It is sometimes seen inshore after gales or passing by longer headlands. When to see them? Guillemots are best seen at the nesting colonies from March to the end of July. What they eat? Fish and crustaceans. UK breeding numbers, 1,420,900 pairs. What else did we see there? So we saw the guillemot, the puffin, and of course the razorbill, whose Latin name is Alcatorda. Sounds like this. It's unusual, it sounds like a cross between a pig, a lawnmower, and a motorbike, but enough of that. The family again, auks. This bird is on the amber status again. Okay, the razorbill is a medium-sized seabird. It is black above and white below. It has a thick black beak, which is deep and blunt, unlike the thinner bill of the similar guillemot. It breeds around the coasts of the UK, with the largest colonies in northern Scotland. They are non-breeding between the Humber and the Isle of Wight. Birds only come to shore to breed and winter in the northern Atlantic. The future of this species is linked to the health of the marine environment. Fishing nets, pollution and declining fish stocks all threaten the razorbill. Where to see them? Best looked for at seabird colonies in the breeding season, particularly in northern Scotland. You may see them from sea-watching points around the coast at other times. When to see them? On the breeding cliffs from March to end of July, rather scarce in inshore waters the rest of the time. What they eat, fish, especially sand eels, sprats and herrings. Estimated numbers, UK breeding, 188,576 birds. As I recall on SafeStack, I think again the numbers there was 12 breeding pairs. I think, was it? Yeah, something like that. Okay, I might have got my facts wrong, but there, I can rewind and listen to it, what I did actually say. So finally, even though I didn't see one, we'll have a look at the chough. That as well, and then we've covered the main birds that can be seen there. Here we are. Great, I can see a picture of one, even though I didn't get to see one when I was there. The chough, who sounds like this. Here we go. Quite similar to a jackdaw, I think. Okay, so let's have a see. The chough, whose Latin name is Pyrrhocorax pyrrhocorax. The family it's from is crows and allies, the corvids. While its black plumage identifies it as a crow, the chough, pronounced chuff, yeah, it's because it's spelt chug, that's why it's telling me that. The chuff, pronounced chuff, has a red bill and legs unlike any other member of the crow family. It has a restricted westerly distribution in the British Isles, and because of its small population size and historically declining populations, it is an amber list species. It readily displays its mastery of flight with wonderful aerial displays of diving and swooping, found in flocks in autumn and winter. Were to see them, rocky coast with short grassland, RSPB reserves at South Stack, Anglesey, Loch Grunert, Islay, and along the Causeway Coast, Northern Ireland. When to see them, all year round, what they eat, insects and larvae. UK breeding, now these are low numbers, 429 to 497 pairs. Not a lot of these at all. So, yeah, I didn't see any and I was a bit disappointed, but given the numbers, yep. Okay, so I think I'll leave it at that for now. So I hope this has been okay. It was a trip out in which I hoped it come across my enthusiasm that I shared with you, seeing some puffins and maybe not chuffs, but razorbills and guillemots. Nice weather, nice drive out, day off work not wasted, I think. So that's it for this week. Here's the artificial bird of the week again, which is, if I haven't mentioned it, the puffin. So you want to find out more about how to buy the artificial birds, the Audubon musical bird toys and other info, including the link to the camera at SafeStack so you can see these birds for yourself. Log on to www.birdpod.webs.com. If you want to email me at all, my email address is birdpod@hotmail.co.uk. So thanks again for listening, and oh, go on, one more artificial bird of the week. Bye for now.